says, Christianity is not for the faint of heart. Christianity, it says, ain't for sissies. The Apostle Paul has been called many things in this life that we live in this world. He's been called boastful. He's been called fervent. He's been called daring. He's been called stubborn. He's been called a woman hater. Imagine that. He's been called zealous, just to name a few things. He's also been called a very strong Christian, one who is not too wishy-washy. You see, he's rarely been called that in his life because being too pliable or flexible, that's not Paul. However, he might be so accused if one looks closely at 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. And in verses 19 and verse 22b, it says, I make myself a slave to everyone. I become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. Too flexible? Oh no, not Paul. Not Paul at all. There are some who say that the church has become too flexible in seeking to reach the unchurched in this world that we live in today. We have to adapt to the times and reach a consumer-oriented market. That's pretty much agreed. That's the way the world works today. You look at the things that are going on around you and how can we best meet the needs of those people. But how far do we go? What about this current worship with choruses and rock bands? It's going on all the time, praising the Lord. We know that we need to do certain things in a church. We know that we've just got through carpeting and painting and fixing and doing things, and when something breaks, we usually repair it. We're pretty good about things like that. We know when something is broken, it needs to be fixed. But in today's world, it says we need to try to fix things before they get broken. We need to see what we need to do. But about this here music stuff, but how do we know if this is just something that is a fad that's going to be passed along with the next thing that comes along, or if it's going to be something that's going to stay? You see, I hear all the time, well, those things were good enough for my generation. It ought to be good enough for theirs. Well, when I had to come to church, I had to sit down and be still and just shut up and don't say nothing. This crowd today can't sit still for nothing. They're up and down all the time. They're in and out. Why in the world can't adults go to the bathroom before service starts? Ooh, I hear those things from so many people all the time. And once in a while, I've even felt it in my own heart and soul. You see, we hear people all the time. We hear these things. We say, why can't they be like we were? Why can't they be like my generation? Well, you know what? Have you looked in the mirror lately? How long ago was my generation? We, like Paul, want to reach everyone. But where do we draw that line? How flexible can you and I be and still be true to the integrity of God's word and the gospel? That gospel message. You see, like it or not, the church is in transition. It is. Some say we will be in transition for the next 30 to 40 years. We have not set foot in these waters before. Never before has it been like this. Paradigms today shift very quickly. We used to talk about things shifting and the trends of the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, but now major changes occur not every 10 years, but every 2 to 3 years. Things are changing. What can we do in the days of such rapid transition? What is the church supposed to do? You see, you and I do not have all the answers, neither did Paul. But Paul does, however, give us a clue in his letter to the troubled church at Corinth. We must remember that his time was similar to ours in that faith in Christ had brought radical change to many believers. You see, there was no road maps back then. As is today, everybody doesn't have a map. Maps sometimes are obsolete. People's got GPS. They've got these things in their vehicles that tell them what to do. If you don't buy one, usually your car comes equipped with one. But see, Paul's own faith, too, was a theology in process. Paul was learning as he went, just like you and I do. We learn as we go, we develop, we grow. You see, his evangelistic style varied with his audience. And it does. You know, when you go to a new place and you're preaching to a new group of people, do you think the first Sunday that you're there is just you're so excited about it? It's a scary place to be. I can remember my first Sunday here. In fact, this past week I was going through some stuff. I actually was decluttering part of my office, Mr. Curtis. I have taken 4 bags of trash out of there and I can see the floor, but that's about all. Desk is still pretty big, but I found a folder that had, I knew where it was at, but I just kind of went through it again, that had the first 6 months that I was here, my first 6 month sermons. And I thought, I looked at part of them. Part of them was pretty good, and part of them I said, oh, Lord. Can't believe I said that. Can't believe I did that. Can't believe I'm still here. No. So anyway, I thought, forgive me on some of it. But sometimes when you go to new places, you don't always say the things that you need to say right to begin with. You have to get to know your congregation. You need to get to know your audience. You are told what you can and can't do sometimes, and you need to do that. I was talking to someone this past week. They were talking about things that you can and can't do. I know many years back I was invited to go to the Cumberland County Board of Commissioners meeting to open up their session in prayer. Well, the man that invited me to come and be a part of it, I said to him, he said, these are the rules and regulations. He sent them to me. They sent them to me. What I could say, what I couldn't say. Well, you know, it's hard to be a Christian, to be a pastor, and to be called to pray, and you can't say God or Jesus. You're supposed to say higher being. And I said, oh, please give me a break. I did say God. I didn't get thrown out, and I got my pen and letter opener and my little box and my handshake, and I got out of there, you know. But I got to thinking about, what was that doing to me? What are the things that we are told we can and can't do? What are the things that we have to be strong about, that we have to stand up for and say, okay, you know, I didn't want to make nobody mad. I didn't want to, you know, throw out the whole session of Cumberland County, which I'm sure nobody would have cared, but I wanted to do it right, but I also wanted to be true to who I was and who God was in my life. And why would you call somebody to say a Christian prayer and then tell them they can't do these things? But anyway, that's just one of them other things that we have in life. But our world today, as in Paul's day, is in transition. You see, we don't have the answers, just like he didn't. We're always working on things as we go. We're trying to make it work. We're trying to do things. And sometimes it's a try it, it works, wonderful. Try it, it don't work. Try it for a while, let's do something else. Just because I thought about it and I thought it was a good idea doesn't mean we have to be married to it if it doesn't work. Well, it's okay. Let's get rid of it. Let's do something else. Because that is the way things work. That is the way people grow. That is the way we learn about the things around us. You see, we have to find out what is comfortable, what is good, what is going to be. And I think we do find that. But you see, there's something about Paul that was always a constant factor. The consistency that gave his ministry integrity and effectiveness. Paul was always true to himself. And you have to be true to who you are. You see, in our text today, Paul would say, keep spiritually fit, as he's talking about the athletes here during a time in history. Using a well-known sports analogy, he would urge them and us today to exercise our spiritual disciplines. We cannot control everything in a rapidly changing world, but you and I can control ourselves. For Paul, spiritual formation involved the strict training of practices such as prayer, fasting, solitude, and perseverance. You see, we can be God's athletes with condition and train ourselves in order to be used by God to benefit others. A Chattanooga native by the name of Reggie White, an NFL Hall of Famer, is quoted as saying, "Football is one thing, but life with God is everything." What really matters is what is on the inside. Here, inside is the true battleground. When we can win the battle on the inside, you and I can win the battle on the outside. You see, we like to think if we fix everything up pretty, we put up screens and projectors and get bands and groups and change and or add, not always change, but add another worship service and add this or do that, that if we do all this stuff, people are going to come. They're going to get excited and they're going to do things. Or it's going to change everything and we're just going to be on fire and everything's going to be wonderful. Yes, in fact, those things can be good. Those things can be a positive thing for some churches and some areas. But not always is that the answer. Not always is that what needs to be done. Sometimes it's a good fit. But the thing about it is, if we come to a place to worship, if we come with a heart and a soul and a spirit ready to worship, what are we going to do? We're going to worship. If we come into this place expecting to receive something, but also expecting to give. When you come into worship, you have to be an active participant. You have to be part of the game. You can't just sit there like a knot on a log and think that you're at a ball game or a sporting event of some description or at a rock concert and here we are to entertain you. That is not what we are here for today. The choir's not here to entertain you. The choir's here to help lead you in worship. I am definitely not here to entertain you. I am here to hopefully give you the message that the Lord has laid upon my heart and my soul to tell you that this is what is to be done, needs to be done, and should be done. And hopefully I'm practicing what I'm preaching. If I'm not, how effective do you think I would be? Not too well. So we have to think about these things. How many of us spend money on going out? Think about it. From time to time, going out to dinner once in a while. How many of y'all spend the money on going out to sporting events? Now it's basketball season. It's been football season. And I know, boy, I hear people, boy, they got to take off towards Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill. Somewhere or another, there's always a ball game. Some of you like those Panthers and you run down towards Charlotte. And you'll take off and you'll spend all kinds of money on tickets. You'll spend all kinds of money on gas getting there and all kinds of money on food, only getting there and whatever. And you'll stand up and you'll scream and you'll shout and you'll yell and you'll do all this stuff. You'll put into it because you like that team or you're supporting it. And you'll yell and scream. And then you'll come back home and occasionally you'll make it to church on Sunday morning. Occasionally, not always. If you've read statistics lately, you know that. If you come to church once a month, now it's considered regular. I do not agree with those I don't like that. I think it's, you got to be here more than once a month that I'm thinking you're regular. I think we need to send you a card and say, where have you been? That's not it. That's not regular. But you will come to this place and you will sit in this pew and you will act like somebody who has just lost their life. God, I'm so tired. And you look like it too. You're sitting out there pitiful. You're so tired. You're thinking, God, it is. Oh, I'm so tired. I went to bed late. I watched that movie. I didn't get in. I'm just so tired. And when the offering plate is passed by, you'll find a dollar or two ruffled up in a coat pocket, and you'll throw that in the offering plate, and you think you've done something good. Well, now I'm telling you, you have not done anything good. You have give your leftovers to the Lord, and that won't do. When you start putting Him first in everything, when you say, yes, I want to go to the football game, or yes, I'm going to that basketball game, but let me think about what it's going to take out of everything. Let's see if I can afford to go. Then, if you can give what you would give to that, to the Lord, by all means, go all you want. But until you do, don't be giving the Lord your leftovers. Think about what you're doing all the time. I see it too many times, and I know there are people that cannot do any more than that. And thank God, like the widow's mite, when you give your all, that's your all. No matter if it's a dollar or to $300 or to $3,000, that's your all. But if you're just saying, that's all, I didn't even think about it. I didn't even think about church today, or I didn't even think about my offering, or I'll give them $20, or I'll give them $25, or I don't know, I'll just throw something into plate if it comes by. When you don't think about it, what happens? What happens to the church when you don't think about it anymore? What happens to the people around you when you don't think about it anymore? What happens when you quit? And I'm going to tell you something, and I weren't even going to say this today because I was so upset with them, I could have killed them the other night. But you know that I am a Carolina fan. And I did watch that ball game the other night. Not the one yesterday, which they won, thank God. But the one the other night, and I was watching them, and they were doing so good, and I was very proud of them. And then again, just like in that second half, I told them. I was sitting there talking to them just like they could hear me at the house. And they began to get caught up. And I said, listen, Duke is not stopping. They're not leaving you alone. They are still playing. Obviously, you have quit. And at the end, it was that shot that will go down in history for a young freshman at Duke. God bless him. He shot a beautiful shot. He made it. And just like everybody else, I said, you idiots. Well, I'd already called them a bunch of idiots long before then because they just throwed the ball game away to quit playing. They were doing some of the dumbest things I've ever seen. That's what happens when we think we are ahead of the game so many times in life. We think we've got it made. We are on the right path. We are going in the right direction. Life is good. And all of a sudden, we quit playing. We think we've done enough that we don't... I'm a good enough Christian. I know this Bible well enough that I don't have to read it all the time. I might not have to read it, but maybe once a week, twice a week, or maybe once a month, I might pick it up. What happens to us? We begin to lose. What happens is when we throw things away and we give up. You see, God don't want us to give up. He does not want us to quit playing. He wants us to be a part of it all. You see, the battlefield is within ourselves, and when we win it, we win the world around us. You see, the cry today from young and old is for practical guidance on how to live the life of Christ. People want to know how to live a life with God. How well has the church done in providing such help in spiritual formation? What are we doing to help others? Are we being the guide that we need to be? Are we offering things that need to be offered? Are we letting people know what is going on? You see, Paul's exhortation is set in the background of the Isthmian Games, which were kind of like a precursor many, 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 many years ago in Bible times to what the Olympics would have been. The athletic festival that was held in Corinth every 2 years. The athlete's perishable wreath. It was a wreath made out of what? Celery. Can you believe that? Is illuminated because the victory wreath at the games was made of something that was perishable. It was going to die. It was going to rot and be no more good. But the gift that you and I get is the gift of eternal life in knowing our Lord, and that gift lives forever. Another example that comes in the sporting realm is one that was done many years ago, is that of Gary Player. He was a golfer who responded to someone who said to him, "Oh boy, I'd give anything if I could hit a golf ball like you could." And his reply was this. He says, "No, you wouldn't. No, you would not. Do you know what you have to do to be able to hit a golf ball like this? You've got to get up at 5:00 every morning and go out to the golf course and hit 1,000 golf balls. Your hands start bleeding and you walk to the clubhouse, you wash the blood off, you wrap your hands with bandages and you go back out to that golf course and you hit another 1,000 balls. That is what it takes to hit a golf ball like I do." In other words, are you willing to put in the time and effort that it takes to be the best? You see, if athletes would push themselves to the limit to win a pathetic crown of withered celery, or to the point of bleeding hands, how much more should you and I maintain self-discipline to attain a crown that will last forever? As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Because you see, Christianity ain't for sissies. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much this day for who you are in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for loving us. I thank you, Lord, for blessing us. I thank you, Lord, for loving us, in fact, that we sometimes forget you. We sometimes leave you laying on the sidelines. We sometimes leave you at home when we go out places. We sometimes don't even remember you when we show up at church. We forget who you are. We forget that we knew you. We forget about you all the time. We give you our leftovers. We give you that which we wouldn't even sometimes throw out the window. We give you that which nobody else wants. And you take it. And you forgive us. And you love us and you bless us anyway. So, Lord, this day I'm asking myself and I'm asking the church to start giving their best in all that they do, in all that they say, in all that they are to you. To let them think about who you are always. To let them think about what they're giving long before they give it. To let them think about what they're going to do. To let them begin to pray and to search and to look at ways that they can serve you each and every day. So, Lord, allow us to be that church. Allow us to be that people that go above and beyond each and every day to follow you, to serve you, to be like you. And in doing so, Lord, let us give our best always, always to you. Be with us now. Prepare our hearts and our minds for this time that is at hand. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision.